yourself for an in-depth look at all your favorite villains, one villain at a time. It is the Rogues Gallery with the man down under himself, Damian Smith. Here now, the Rogues Gallery.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levesine, and welcome to episode 6 of the Rogues Gallery. We're back for more here. It's about once a month. Hopefully, we'll keep that up. And we're joined by the man from Australia himself, Lord Shaper, Damian Smith. On the forums, he is Lord Shaper. In real life, he is Damian Smith. What's going on, Damian?
Not much. Just, yeah, getting it all ready for the convention coming up, which by the time this is out, will be gone. So we actually have Stan Lee coming via video feed.
We were supposed to
be having Dan DiDio coming out, and he cancelled because of family reasons. Oh. We were supposed to be having who I was really looking forward to. Now I've got to remember his name. Ben Templesmith was supposed to be there, but because it actually coincides for the launch of 30 Days of Night, he's going to the launch of 30 Days of Night instead.
That totally sucks. So, like, I mean, did anybody not cancel?
We've got David Yarden, who's one of the guys on the forum. I don't know if you've actually seen him. He doesn't post that much, but he posts in the Australian thread a fair bit, so he's going to be there. We've got Marv Wolfman coming out.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Yes. I'll be there for that. No doubt in my mind for that.
Definitely.
I'll get some more characters in my villain sketchbook. Actually, I'm going to give him an option this year. I'm going to say, do you want to have my Grendel-only sketchbook, or do you want to go in my villains-only sketchbook?
Well, this is great. You can ask Mark Wolfman about Bullseye.
I was thinking of asking him about Blade and what he thought of the last series of his that's been axed. God, that was bad.
It's actually axed, finally?
Yeah, it was actually issue 12.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
Hence why it said cancelled on the front cover. I think that they did that because they were annoyed.
Well, I think my favorite cancellation issue still has to be Dan Slott's last issue of Thing, where with the superhero poker tournament.
I didn't read that one, but that was probably one of the reasons why it did get canceled. Well,
if you ever find it in any sort of discount, pick it up. It's good stuff. Dan Slott always writes great stuff, but his Thing was perfect. It was like the best the Thing has been written in years. But it all ended again with the one thing that you've always wanted to see out of Ben Grimm, because he's always, you know, having like the poker tournaments with all the Marvel characters. Finally, he actually holds for his birthday a Marvel Heroes poker tournament.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And my favorite thing, of all the people who win, it's Flatman from the Great Lakes Avengers.
I haven't even heard of the guy.
Great Lakes Avengers was another series that Dan Slott recently did work on, so that's why he threw that in there. But the Great Lakes Avengers is supposed to be like the Avengers you've never heard of.
Yeah,
they're kind of like
there. You go. That's right. I haven't heard of them.
They're kind of like, I guess they're kind of like the JLI of the Marvel U. Like they're the ones you're not supposed to take seriously. Yeah, but anyway, we got something new here. We've never actually done an independent episode. I'm starting to sound like Jim now. episode of the Rogues Gallery before, so we figured we might as well change things up a bit. So, Damian, what do you got for us this time?
This time we're actually going to be visiting the Witchblade universe. And originally I was looking at doing Kenneth Irons, but I think Ian Nottingham's a better character.
I think so, too. He's got a wonderful first name.
I'll just keep referring to Ian as the assassin throughout the episode, just for those who actually want to know who I'm talking about. It's actually him.
I'm the one who doesn't kill people for a living.
And first up, we didn't do it last time, so I'm sure that Equinox's wife's somewhere over the Pacific coming over by now. So, Equinox, turn it off if she hasn't left yet.
Run for your life. His sexy Australian accent will get you under his control. You're like Vertigo in Marvel, you know, like you just get people under your whim like nothing. I had to bring that up, but yeah. Let's actually get serious for a minute here. I'm actually curious. I don't know anything about Witchblade, so I'm coming into this totally as the observer. So I'm curious as to what drew you to the character of Ian Nottingham, and specifically, I guess, what drew you to Witchblade as well.
Well, I got put onto Witchblade by a friend of mine actually years and years ago. I got hooked on the Darkness early on. I think I actually started at issue 2 of the Darkness and I couldn't find issue 1, but then they actually did their 2-in-1. That was one thing Image/Top Cow at the time was doing. They were doing their 2-in-1 issues, mm-hmm. where you'd get like the first 2 issues and then they'd do the third and fourth and yep. then they'd do the 4th and 5th. So I got put onto Witchblade just through the Darkness because they actually did a crossover since the Darkness is the enemy of the Witchblade.
Oh, okay.
Now, we're not going to actually talk about the Darkness this one because we're going to do him at a later date when I've got a lot more time since we've got the wonderful Phil Hester actually coming out with a new Darkness series.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm on that. Like,
did you happen to get the game,
you
by
know,
the way?
It's not on PS2.
It's not on PS2? Really?
No, it's on next gen only.
Oh, wow.
From what I remember.
I had no idea. I could have sworn I saw a version of it come out for the PS2. That's why. Okay.
Well, if it has, it hasn't came out here yet.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's only just about to actually release over here, so.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You know,
well, actually,
it still is coming.
Let's see. I'm actually going to click on this just for a minute here just to see whether or not I can actually find it.
Actually, I think on the latest edition of Raging Bullets, which is probably, you know, part A746.
You forgot the Q.
Oh, damn. It was the wrong episode then. No, Sean mentions that he was actually playing the Darkness video game on there too. So
yeah. And
I think it's on PS3 and 360.
I'm looking right here. It's actually, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 only. Yeah, wow, that's sad. It was released on June 25th, 2007 in the U.S. and June 29th, 2007 in Europe. Xbox 360 only. The PS3 version was released on July 20th. So it is out where you are. It's just not on PS2. But anyway,
so
let's go
when
back.
When I'm rich and can spend $1,000 on the bloody gaming unit, I'll get it.
Oh, boy. That's why I got my Wii.
I don't have enough time to play. Well, a Wii over here is still $400. So.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. And
I don't have time to play games.
I spent $400 on a Wii, 2 games, a controller, and a nunchuck. I mean, I got like the full package over at Nintendo World here in Manhattan. I'm like, damn, if it costs $400, I'd still have a N64.
Hey, PS3 over here costs $999, roughly.
Whoa.
I have seen it cheaper, but... And 360s were $699.
Oh, my God.
So I don't have that sort of money to throw around at the moment, and I don't have enough time to play even the games that I have got since I've started to play City of Heroes about 2 months ago, and... I'm still paying monthly for it, but I haven't got back to it since.
Yeah.
I've updated it.
well, while you might have time for games, you also have time for characters, right? Like Ian Nottingham. So, yeah. Let's drive things back, I guess. But, just going back to Ian Nottingham, what drew you to the character of Ian Nottingham?
Yeah, well, actually, his first appearance was in Witchblade number 1, which actually I have... the 2-in-1 packs for all the early Witchblades. They did it in a nice little box set where you got all 4 books.
Very cool.
About the size. Did you ever get Stardust?
No, never.
When it came out originally?
I didn't get it when it came out originally. I actually just got it now.
Oh, okay. Did you get the individual mini trades?
No, I actually just got
the... Well, you got the hardcover.
The soft cover Vertigo trade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because what it was, it's if you ever saw those sort of mini trades, Vertigo used to do a lot of like the one-shot... say a 64-page story type thing.
Okay.
And they used to do them as a little mini trade type thing. They were 4 and about that size, came in a nice little display box that got water damage. He goes by his name only, so there's no actual alter ego or anything there. He has some interesting powers. It fits well into the actual universe, Darkness and the Witchblade universe quite well. He's displayed superhuman feats of speed and strength. His body and soul have been built to absorb mass quantities of energy. Now, he's actually been able... Now, look, for those of you who actually don't know this whole universe or have never touched with it, the Witchblade is passed on from one female to another female. Now, it can go to any female, but literally they hand it on to the next Witchblade.
Okay.
Which, if anyone's reading the comics at the moment, there is actual new Witchblade, which you've got Sarah Pezzini, who was the original one from issue one of the comic. She's actually handed it on to someone new because she got pregnant, etc.
Okay.
So she's actually gone into that mentor sort of thing. Now, you've seen throughout time as well, I think it was Kenneth Irons got hold of the Witchblade and tried to attach it to his arm, which in turn it tried to literally sever his arm to get away.
It's like, wait a minute, you're male.
Yeah, it's a female only. Only a female can actually use the Witchblade. But through this, if you ever see a picture of Ian Nottingham, and as I look up, I actually realize I do have his actual action figure standing up on top of my desk at the moment.
Nice.
He actually has this nice little tattoo type thing, which was a focal point for actually siphoning the powers of the Witchblade and the darkness. So he was actually able to draw their powers into him without actually having it affect him.
Okay.
But later on, he actually possessed a sword called Excalibur, which was a sentient sword, which was the male version of the Witchblade. So if you don't understand that, then I'm not going through it again.
Well, with Excalibur, is this the mythical Excalibur? Is this just a different version of it?
Not that I've seen. It's just a sword that's called Excalibur. I don't think they ever actually explained it was actually King Arthur's Excalibur, but for all intents and purposes, it probably could have been. You know, he could have been one of the wielders of it.
Yeah.
Now, the actual Excalibur itself can act like armor. As you see, everyone's seen a picture of the Witchblade, where she's there with not much on, with these nice little spiky armor bits on her. That's actually caused by the Witchblade. The Excalibur could actually do the same. It could produce energy blasts and constructs, so he could actually build things out of it as well, sort of, you know, to help him in the fight, and it decreases his aging process.
Uh-huh.
So if you ever see a picture of him, he looks like he's, what, mid-20s, would you say?
Something like that, yeah.
When he was actually born in 1966.
Whoa.
So he's just about hit the 40 mark.
So he's got, like, Wolverine-style aging going on.
Now he does, yes.
All right. Yeah, because I love that. Like Wolverine was supposed to be born in, like, the 1800s, and he still looks like he's, like, 30.
I always thought it was more like 40-ish for me.
30, 40. It depends on who draws him.
Yeah. Okay, so we've established he's from, actually, the Witchblade comic. He actually was involved with Sarah for a while as well. His history, he was originally a British Special Air Services and went on to work for MI5, which is the equivalent of the FBI. Sorry, just to think about that, because you have MI6, which is the exterior. So you have the interior, like you got FBI and CIA.
Okay.
Okay. He underwent behavioral modifications so he could go deep undercover, but the conditioning caused him to forget his past, and he became a bodyguard for Kenneth Irons. From there, he killed Sarah's partner in Witchblade Number 1. Yeah, he was literally raised by Kenneth to be a perfect warrior, learning several forms of combat and studying the Sun Tzu's art of war. So, you know, he was taught just basically to be a killer from then.
Well, from what I've learned about Sun Tzu's The Art of War, it's kind of going to do that to you.
Oh, yeah. It's a great book. Have you ever read it?
Uh-oh. I'm kind of glad there's an ocean between us right now.
I'm getting a bit too, I can't move as fast as I used to. Yeah, basically the reason he keeps working for Kenneth Irons is he's pulling actually a 7-figure salary, which I think anyone would if they were offered that sort of money. And actually I just love this little fact here that he also has access to Irons' extensive Laserdisc collection. So it's showing its date a little bit there, but we all know that Laserdiscs had a better sound quality than what DVDs do. So.
Oh, of course. and to this day, that's the only way that you can really get the original Star Wars trilogy in its original form.
And if you watch Chasing Amy on it, you actually get the joke when you watch the commentary.
Hey, and one of my favorite movies to this day, Free Enterprise, they go Laserdisc shopping. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how cheap that they go for these days. You know, I remember spending quite a lot of money on one disc.
Well, that's because the discs are so big, you can live in them if you wanted to.
I know that the people these days use them to actually for tanning under their chins and stuff like that as well. So, okay, let's get back to it here.
All right.
While he was actually involved with working for Irons, he actually became involved with Sarah Pezzini. And, you know, she was the hot-headed type of person while he was the cold and calculating one who basically went there to do the job. And she kept on breaking it off whenever they, you know, would get back together, sort of saying that he'd creep her out because of the fact that she couldn't stand someone who could just calculate that far ahead.
Yeah.
Basically, he keeps on going between the two, helping her and then going back to working for Irons, being an assassin again.
So he really doesn't know what he is.
He's just drawn to people of with power, I think.
Okay.
Well, he has no will of his own. He's just told to do things and he does it.
Although, mind you, when you're an assassin, that kind of is what you do for a living. You let other people tell you what to do, and you get paid for it.
When he, as I said earlier, he was born in 1966. He has a brother that were orphaned. He was a troublemaker and bully when he was younger, but then he was literally adopted by Kenneth, to actually, you know, so that's where he actually started to shape into what he wanted. Wanted him to be. Then he was sent on a mission, you know, one of the major things, he was sent on a mission to Japan to kill a woman. He then fell in love with the target and fell in love with the culture. And that actually is where he started to get his influence for all the martial arts and that side of things that he grew up with.
Okay.
Hence why his actual favorite weapon actually is a katana.
Ah, okay. So he draws his influences from his past.
Yes.
Okay.
And he always had that sort of martial arts feel. Like, I know at the time this was part of everything that was coming out from Image at the time, and it was all sort of, you know, the bad guy with the sword type thing, but yeah, he just had that really cool air about him that gave him, you know, he's done this, he's experienced it, he's well practiced in it.
Made him stand out from a crowd.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and basically from where he fell in love with that target, it got to the point where the job had to be done, and that's what turned him into being so cold and calculating and so able to control his emotions and everything. He then actually managed to, you know, have acquaintances with the Yakuza, which echoed how Jackie Escardo, or who was the Darkness, actually had his side of things with the mob, where he was brought up as actually by a mobster.
Mm-hmm.
Ian, again, was actually, you know, helped and trained a bit by the Yakuza, so he attained a high rank in their society, but remained a ronin of sorts, working for whoever he chose. As we said before, he's always actually fighting between if he wants to, you know, his loyalty to his employer and mentor, or to Sarah. Yeah, his relationship with actual Irons these days is classed as where he basically doesn't like him, but he uses him for his influence and his power.
From what I'm finding about him so far, and again, this is all brand new to me here, he's reminding me of other villains I've found where they always have some sort of attachment somewhere. No matter how evil you want to be, there's always at least one thing that's calling you back to the side of good. And I guess Sarah would be that to him.
Yep.
And it's sort of keeping him from completely going over the edge, even if he did have to kill his original love, I guess.
Yeah, as we said earlier, that he has markings on his right hand, actually, which is like a tattoo-type marking, which were able to absorb power in that. Because of Kenneth's actual obsession with the Witchblade, Nottingham actually became increasingly curious about how it would actually feel on his arm. Basically, once the rune that he had tattooed on him actually met the actual Witchblade itself, he quickly wished that he wasn't actually able to, you know, he hadn't thought of trying to do it. Because, as I said, you've got Excalibur, which was the sentient. All these powers seem to actually be sentient in this world.
I mean, that explains the Excalibur, I guess, that all of these things are happening for a reason, I guess, and they're all self-aware. It actually kind of reminds me a bit of like maybe like a Green Lantern ring, where the Green Lantern ring, it has a mind of its own you know, it still can tell you stuff. It still has a voice. It's not just there.
And also, like, just say when, if the darkness was nearby, basically the darkness would start to kick in, and also the Witchblade would start to, you know, say there's something here.
Yeah.
As they sensed each other type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Witchblade is generally ungovernable by anyone who wasn't born to wear it, so... because he wasn't do it, and because it's always been chosen by a woman, it's always chosen a woman to actually wear it. He tried to bend the Witchblade to his will while trying to suck the power into it, and the gauntlet literally, it controlled him instead. He literally was fighting Sarah for it, and that battle actually gave him serious injuries as she took the power back from him.
I can imagine. Because like you said earlier, it almost ripped his arm off, right? Almost ripped his arm off.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Now, he was nursed back to health by a Japanese girl called Setsuki, and when she tried to actually kill a famous rock star, Irons actually turned around and fought and forced him to actually kill her, which he obeyed, but not without sort of voicing his opinion about.
Yeah. Well, come on. I mean, how would you feel if the person who nursed you back to health you were forced to kill?
It depends how good she did the job.
Well, I guess at this point, it didn't really do that well.
After that, he actually acquired the Excalibur. He hasn't been able to fully control it. When he does give into it and actually takes over him rather than actually him using it for what's needed, but he believes that in the power of the human will, that through sheer force of will, almost anything can be accomplished, which also goes to complement the way he controls himself to actually do all the things that he has to do. He has the belief that all life is chaos and the control of life is fleeting at best, so he just goes basically with the flow of what's happening. If he loses control of his powers, then he loses control of them. He'd actually at one point lost actually Excalibur to Sarah after she beat him senseless in a fight. He's recently reappeared, pursued by the Yakuza assassins and begging Sarah for help. He's also seems to have lost the Excalibur since he never uses it to defend himself. And would ask, could he borrow the Witchblade, which after his last experience, he should actually have learned from now not to actually even bother with that.
Yeah, if he wants to still have an arm and a shoulder, yeah.
And he actually is using a cursed katana to actually kill off any opposition and take control. He's trying to take control of the local Yakuza. You know, he's going back to his life of crime after, you know, being hunted down. That's sort of about where he's up to these days. So he's basically escaped from... He was captured at one point, but he's actually escaped from prison and he's basically on the lam at the moment, so...
Okay.
That's the last that anyone has seen of him.
And still no Excalibur, right?
Still no Excalibur. No one knows what's happened to the Excalibur, so hopefully they'll actually be bringing that up and showing what happened there in later issues.
I hope so, yeah, because, I mean, it seems like something as powerful as the Excalibur should, well, not be in the background for too long.
Yeah.
Until somebody goes and tries to get it.
Unless Kenneth's got it or something like that, and that would be interesting to see, since he was always after the power of the Witchblade.
Yeah. Now, how much of the power is he able to channel of the Witchblade in the darkness? Is it just minimal amounts?
He would literally absorb it. Think of him like a battery.
Okay.
He would literally, he would just suck it in. Or as a capacitor, if you want to go a bit more technical for it. He would literally, and then he would be able to let it go in bursts, which was always good, but also always good to show that there was a weakness that, you know, someone that, if they got near and he did, you know, if his rune touched their weapon, then he could just suck all the power out of them. It's always great.
And that last battle is what made Sarah stop being Witchblade, right?
Not that I know of. As far as I know, she's actually handed on the Witchblade to this other person because she got pregnant and decided she didn't want to hurt the baby.
Okay.
Having all these fights.
Because that's what I'm reading right here. That's why I'm asking that, because it says yeah. It's like literally the last line before they go on to other media in the Wikipedia entry is that it should be noted that Sarah decided to give up the Witchblade because of this battle.
Yeah.
Between when Detective Pizzini arrests Ian and sends him back to prison.
Ah, yes. Yes.
So that's why I'm curious about that. This was issue This was issue 102.
Okay, then.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about this, so I don't know whether or not it's actually still the case. I'm just sort of reading verbatim here. So
you're looking at a more updated one than what I've got in front of me at the moment, which was ended at issue 101.
Well, then.
There you go. Someone's updated Wikipedia.
In the last couple
just
of days.
Loved, did you see the fan response and trivia? This is what... and I'll say it as it's read just to give somebody an ego boost here. Ian is one of the most popular Witchblade characters amongst the female audience, and also the pencilers are frequently requested to draw him shirtless.
You're welcome. I mean, what can I say, really? I mean, Ian just attracts attention, and all the people just want to draw him. It's just the way it works. I mean, I can't help that, really. It's just the way things are. I have fans. I mean, Ian has fans. Not I. Ian, of course. Not... Yeah.
I was going to say Raph. You're never going to look at him the same way now.
Yeah. And the other fan response in trivia, but that's as of September 30th, 2007, which is just not that long ago. I don't know whether or not this fan response is on yours or not. It should be noted that current Witchblade scribe Ron Mars has stated that he does not have any plans for Ian in the near future. According to Mars, Ian's story has already been told, and that he will be keeping the British character in prison for a while.
At least it's good seeing that they're actually going to do that with a character for once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Unlike, I don't know, Psylocke or Wolverine.
Or Wolverine Jr., I mean Weapon X.
X-23,
Or whatever it is.
X-27, whatever the hell it is. Yeah, right.
I haven't read... Well, actually, I can't say I haven't read next book in a while. I actually started picking up the trades for Whedon's run, but...
Okay. It is good. I mean, Whedon's run is all right. It's not the most groundbreaking thing in the world. It's just good. Yeah. It's just good X-Men.
And, no, I keep getting told by everybody I have to get X-Force. Well, X-Factor, sorry.
Yes, you do.
Not X-Force.
Yeah, yes, you do. You have to go out right now and buy X-Factor. Right now. Right now. This very minute. Not while we're recording, though, afterwards.
I actually remembered one day to go and do it, and they didn't have the first issue, the first trade-in. So I will get it next time I've come across it.
I'm actually looking to get the second Peter David Essentials X-Factor Volume 2 from the original X-Factor run. Back when he was writing it back in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
They just
released...
I didn't
even know they were doing those as essentials.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually just... well, Visionaries, actually. Peter David Visionaries. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, actually, I just picked up... At San Diego Comic-Con, I picked up the Hulk Peter David Visionaries. Which has a bunch of the Gray Hulk. Back when... I think, actually, McFarlane...
Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah, Mr. Fix-It with some McFarlane stuff in there. It's all good stuff, and the X-Factor is being released now also, so that's all good. Again, I didn't watch the TV series, so I guess you'll be able to answer this better than I. Compare the way he was portrayed in the TV show to the way he's portrayed in the comics. Similar, different?
I missed it, so I haven't been able to find it. So I wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, okay, from what you read in Wikipedia right here, I mean, it says that he's a cloning experiment here.
Yeah.
So that's obviously different.
They've still gone along the side. They've turned him more into from reading what you can see here, they've basically turned him into a ninja.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll have to see the series.
And, of course, the cloning experience means that he's like the Bizarro Witchblade.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, which he's not in the comics, from what I'm reading. He can just channel it. Yeah.
Yeah, he was built to channel it.
Okay. And apparently, when he couldn't get Sarah in the TV show, he turns his attention to Eris, which is her doppelganger.
Yeah, which I never saw in the comics.
I have a feeling it wasn't there. This is definitely that. And hey, two action figures. Which says something about
one.
A character.
God, it's not Batman.
Yeah.
It came with 500 Batmans at the time.
Uh-huh. And again, for something like Witchblade, where you don't get that many action figures, this guy warranted two action figures. That says how popular he is.
As it said, it was mainly the women that were after it. But, and I had an ex at the time, and she used to love looking at Ian Nottingham.
Well, there you go.
You know, didn't read the comics, but she didn't complain when I got the, Wild Storm's swimsuit editions.
Oh.
Which I still got some.
All right. And the X-Men swimsuit edition from the 90s, I think, is still somewhere in my collection. Yeah. Now, do you agree with Ron Mars that the character has run its course for now and that it should actually be on the sidelines for a while?
Yes.
Okay.
Because if you keep on having characters coming back and back and back, they lose their effect. You know, and that's what I think we've been saying all along with a lot of these ones.
Yeah.
You let them go off. You know, you tell a good story, you let them disappear for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bring them back in some big way.
Yeah.
And it's always a much better experience. You know, it's just not the same, you know, oh, it's him again. You know, you don't want the same
sure.
people fighting each time.
Well, especially with villains. Because, I mean, it's one thing for, like, the heroes to come back, but when the villains come back, that is always going to be a spectacle. You know, that's always going to be something that you really want to see. Like, for example, when Darkseid came back after he was gone for a while,
Yep. Everybody's
like, oh, my God, Darkseid's back. And, yeah, that's the way you're going to feel. However, if you have him in seven places at once and continue to have him that way for 5 or 6 years, then everybody's going to be like, why is Darkseid still here? You don't want that to happen with Ian Nottingham either. I mean, you
exactly.
want him to continue to be an interesting character that's only used when he needs to be used.
Yep. And because the main rival has always been Kenneth Irons. This
okay.
is sort of like the paid assassin here.
Gotcha.
Kenneth has always been the one who's trying to take the power one way or another.
One's the Lex Luthor and the other one's the Metallo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
You know, a guy who's always been a villain, but never the top villain in the totem pole. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Any other final thoughts you got on Nottingham, or
no.
that pretty much all?
That's pretty much all. Like, he's always been an interesting character to me. I know we haven't gone in as depth as what we usually do on these. There wasn't as much information out there for him, and we wanted to actually do an independent. Oh, about 6 months or so ago, they released actually the complete Witchblade.
Yeah.
Which was literally the 90s run of the Witchblade. Oh, and go and check it out. I think it was only about $50, but it was like 50 issues.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was huge. Like the Darkness Compendium came out as well,
well,
which was all 40 issues
I'll,
of the series.
I'll pick it up eventually. Probably not going to be anytime soon because the next purchase I'm making is the complete series of Stargate SG-1. Seasons 1 through 10 for $230.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's 23 bucks a season.
A season, yeah.
Yeah, which is unbeatable, really.
If you can get me the same price on the Highlander series.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. Nope, no promises, no promises whatsoever. I'll see what I can do. Yeah, you're screwed. Once I actually have money to spare, I'll probably end up picking up Witchblade. Because I've always heard good things about it. I've just never actually turned to it. Because Top Cow is one of those ones that it's always been there. It's just always been under my radar.
It's because, you look at it and it's still pretty much in the Cheesecake side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And because they came out through Image originally, as Image Top Cow,
mm-hmm.
people think, oh, it's 90s image shit.
Yeah, but it's not.
You know, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
But, you know, I picked up The Darkness first, which got me into Witchblade, and The Darkness was written by Garth Ennis.
Mm-hmm.
And Garth Ennis doing a villain where he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, you're sold.
Yeah. Now, he only did the first four issues,
mm-hmm.
but it kept me on for the entire run.
Do you feel like
that was 40 issues later.
You feel like that might have been like a launching pad for his Punisher?
I haven't read his Punisher, but the characters are just too far apart.
All right.
The Darkness is literally, he's the mafia assassin, do what you want. I'm the son of the Don who ends up killing his father or his adopted father.
Okay.
Given the powers of a god, or the powers of darkness. So the only time he can't use them is in broad daylight.
Okay. Obviously, because his name is the Darkness.
Yeah.
That much I can gather from the character. I've never read anything from the character, but when you're called the Darkness, using stuff in daytime, probably not a good idea. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all. And I think we've pretty much proven at this point also, hey, send in your submissions for Rogues Gallery. Whatever you guys want to hear, we're willing to do. So whether it be independent, DC, Marvel, give us a shot, and we'll go ahead and do it for you.
Yeah, we're up for it. We always like the bad guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just no good guys. This is Rogues Gallery we're talking about here. All right. Don't ask for Superman. Maybe composite Superman or Bizarro. Just not Superman.
I don't like Superman. I just don't like him.
He's
too good. He's way too good.
Uh-huh. Well, you might not like Superman, but you do like emails, and where can you get your emails?
And if you can send me an email at lordshaper@lordshaper.com, or send me a PM on the forums, which are at thecomicforums.com. If you want to hear more from me, you can go to lordshaper.com/cryptographic. And listen to our episodes there if you're into the horror and fantasy and sci-fi side of things. And also you can go to our Ning site, which is cryptographic.ning.com. And we put all the new trailers and everything we come across up on there.
Excellent. Cool. Do you still post any of your written interviews with any creators or anything on Lordshaper?
I haven't done it in a while, just for the fact that we've been doing more interviews on the show rather than anything else. So.
No, I was just curious because I actually really enjoyed the written stuff you did.
I've got to get back to doing it. I've just got to find some time. And you could read those ones at lordshaper.box.com.
Excellent. Yeah. He's everywhere, folks. He's absolutely everywhere. Oh. And we're everywhere.
I'm a podcast whore. It's been said. You can hear me on so many different shows. It's not funny.
But you're still not the man of 1,000 podcasts. That one still goes to David Price. And check out Marvel.
But he's now the man of 1,001.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Marvel Noise. Over Comic Book Noise. Definitely check it out. All right. And at this point, we'll wrap this up. Email just for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums for both Cryptographic and Comic Timing over at thecomicforums.com/forum, which are graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com, and we're also proud members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters, which you can find over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it. Please dig us on dig.com, and please vote for us on Podcast Alley. So for Damien, I'm Ian Levinstein, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics. And don't forget the villains. They always cause trouble for those heroes. 'Cause it's bigger than my room.
I'll do that video you watch. Uh-huh. I'll get to show you how little my room is.
All right.
I was just going to say that, you know, when I watched that thing, I saw you had all those shelves there with stuff on the shelves, and I was wondering what would happen if they fell in while you slept.
Yeah, I wouldn't be recording anymore because I'd be not here. I'd be somewhere else, like somewhere dark and cold and not alive.
Well, don't worry, you'll just be retconned later on and come back.
That doesn't work in real life.
I'm giving you too much editing here.
That's all right, don't worry about it.
You don't have to work tomorrow.
Yep. Well, and plus, I mean, this one I don't have to edit for another month.
Yeah. Not 2 months, this one.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Or if you really think about it, in the third quarter.
Oh, God.
Okay.